This is Between the Buttons. I'm Ian Green here at Create World in Brisbane, and I'm talking to Brent Gregory from the University of New England. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good. I'm well, Brent. And Brent has just been giving us a very interesting presentation looking really at the engagement, that vexed question of engagement of students and how to, I guess, engage students more and reduce attrition rates by using a variety of Web 2 services. Brent, you said during your presentation that at some stage someone today was going to ask you how to define engagement. Here it's happening now. What do we mean by student engagement in higher education? It's an often used word.
Yeah, it's very tough, and to exactly know the answer, I don't know. One of the ways we talked about measuring it is how often students use different tools that are put up there, and the other way we look at measuring it is what type of outcomes we get. So we don't necessarily know what's going on inside a student's head, but you get some idea of what engagement's happening by what they're doing and what outcomes we're getting.
Yep, okay, I see. And so the sorts of things you've been measuring are to do with the variety of kind of Web 2 type services that are out there and what students sort of select for their own use. Yeah. Now, what kind of results have you come up with?
Well, it's interesting from seeing things like podcasts, or getting feedback from students on what type of podcasts are more valuable, and you find different students, interestingly, find different value in podcasts. So there's some podcasts we have are just copies of the lectures. And it's interesting, I get some feedback from people that are at home, don't have full-time jobs, are looking after kids, and they say, I'm up in the kitchen peeling potatoes, and I love listening to the lectures. If I miss a bit, I'll go back and play it over again. So that works for those. But you have people that say maybe working in an accounting practice, have a part-time job. They don't want to listen to something that goes for an hour to pick up things that they can't see. So they want what we call the overview podcast, which might go for 30 minutes. They've got PowerPoints that fit with it perfectly, really just get the key issues, and that's the type of thing they want. So how do we know about the engagement? Part is from what's people used and also from the feedback we get. Or you get very high-level feedback on engagement from something like YouTube, which they've got a new tool called Hotspots. Mm-hmm. And they give you a graph for you of when people are logging out of your thing. And it's amazing to see. I was listening to a video the other day that showed it goes for 4 minutes, and after 3 minutes had great engagement, it was still really up there. And I saw the graph just dip away to well below average at about 3 minutes. And I went and listened to that again, and I thought, yeah, that's pretty boring, that bit. Mm. And so we're getting so much tools around now for feedback on engagement. And the accountant in me really loves that bit of, I can look at a number, am I getting students engaged? Yeah, here's number what. So as an accountant, that's great for me.
Well, that's good for you, Brent. We won't really mention the accountant. No. We want people to go on listening after the first few minutes on this one. So you were saying you have the podcasts of the lecture, you have recordings of the full lecture, and then you have a kind of overview podcast with the PowerPoints and other sorts of material. This is a lot of preparatory work. Is it worth it? Does it cost you a lot of time?
It does cost a lot of time. That's true. So the PowerPoints of the lectures are easy, mm-hmm. but for a lot of students they're less value, so you've got to think of value for effort. The overview, they do take time. I mean, you put a half an hour podcast together and sometimes it can take you a morning to put that together with the appropriate PowerPoints. Mm-hmm. But one of the real things it does is help you, and I'm getting quicker at it because, it's learning the software as part of it. But it really helps you focus on what the key issues are. It's a good thing about reflective teaching to say, what's the message I really want to get across here? What are the key points? How do I build to that? So it is work. But it's a far better product, I think.
Right, okay. And I noticed in terms of the top sort of services that the students took advantage of, there was your learning management system, there was Facebook and iTunes, and I think YouTube was fairly popular as well. Is that right? I was just wondering about Facebook. What are students using Facebook for?
Well, that was more the one that they had an awareness of it.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't used that much yet. I get some idea. Well, that's not true. So those figures, I hadn't used it. I've used Twitter a little bit in this last semester, and the main role that I've used Twitter for, and it hasn't been a lot of student uptake, but it's just to say I've uploaded a new video, or there's a new podcast there, or reminder, there's an assignment in, or go and have a look at the blog because there's a new job up. So it's the real, you know, the role I can see for Twitter will be that, you know, students, you've got to go and have a look at this. It's just an alert. So I could see that being valuable for Twitter.
Oh, right. I see. OK. And I think your figures showed that students weren't very interested in chat rooms. Did you show a low chat room usage?
Well, I did. In terms of my students in that area, and, you know, was that chat rooms generally or the way they were organised or whatever, but out of all the resources we had available, the chat rooms were not very popular.
OK, but were there other social networking features? Were they using a blog or something rather than the chat room?
Well, there is the discussion board. So there's the discussion board is where I guess there's some substitute for that. And there's a mixture of internal and external students as well. So, you know, the internal students clearly have the opportunity for face-to-face interaction, whereas it's the distance students that are looking for other types of interaction, I would guess.
OK, I see. So generally in the area of engagement and where your sort of teaching methods are going to, what's the future? What you know, out of all this research work, how is this going to impact on your practice?
Well, I guess it's impacting on the practice by I'm putting resources in, measuring what I'm getting back, then talking to students. The challenge I'm finding is how quickly things are changing. I was quite staggered to sit down and talk to some students at the end of first semester this year to see how much they used iPhones, for instance. You know, I was surprised to say, Brent, you put up a podcast, no matter where we are on campus,
right.
You know, an alert comes up, the podcast's there, we can listen to it. So I now have an iPhone, which at the end of first semester I didn't. You know, at the end of first semester I went out and just thought I've got to use this. And you can see now the amount of students that have resources like this, how much more valuable those things are going to be. I'm wondering about, do apps have a role for some things? Because students, you know, it seems like about half students now have some type of access to this. And you go back a few years ago and it didn't seem to be there.
Yeah.
I would say the most powerful tool would be in terms of virtual worlds. But they've got such a role in the fact that it's a really low-cost role-play practice. You know, you can have business games and you don't have to set up a business. You know, you can set up virtual businesses and so people can get an idea of how to run a business, how things interact. It's a lot more holistic. So, but that's an enormous amount of work. Whereas, you know, I talked about a podcast. You could just copy a lecture or spend a morning and get a pretty good podcast.
Yep.
And there's been, like, there's one YouTube video I did, the one I talked about was 4 minutes, that really dropped away at the end. Well, one of the reasons I did that, it probably was about 10 minutes from start to finish to make that. You know, there were some of the PowerPoints were there. I said, what are the key things? I just looked at one bit. So some resources, once you get in the knack of it and you... And I guess you've got, there's a balance between quality and getting things out, and that's a judgment to meet as well. The feedback I got from students, they're more keen on having a pretty good an access to a resource than worried on how well it looks. So I've got to learn more about that.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Well, we hope you come back to Create World in 12 months' time and we'll get an update on it. One more question before we finish off. Now, you've set yourself up as the accountant at Create World, and I'm the other non-creative person here. I'm just the podcaster. Yeah. So, you know, we have this competition for the most creative or the best sort of creative performance on an iOS device during Create World. So I hope you're going to be thinking about putting in an entry.
I'd have to have a graph in it, I think. I'd do graphs and measurement. That's where I'd be at.
Well, it sounds very innovative and it sounds like a winner to me. I've been talking to Brent Gregory from the University of New England here at Create World. This is Between the Buttons.
Thank you very much, Ian. You do a great